You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include PBS with Outbreak. Frontline traces Ebola's path with firsthand accounts from victims and explores whether the disease could have been stopped sooner. Outbreak, tomorrow at 10, 9 Central on PBS and on PBS.org.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after 6 a.m. Central, 7 Eastern Time now. I'm Joe Corcoran for WKU Public Radio with a look at our state and regional news. Last week's earthquake in Nepal killed more than 7,000 people, left hundreds of thousands injured and homeless. For one WKU student, it was personal. 24-year-old graduate assistant Indu Bhattarai has only been in this country for a few months from her native Nepal. This is her first semester at Western. She says when she learned about the earthquake that Saturday night, all she could think about was her brother and her parents in Kathmandu.
I couldn't sleep whole night because earthquake hit during day in there and it was night. So as soon as I got my phone call from my brother, I was very, I wanted to know whether my parents were okay or not.
They were, but they were forced out of their home and into a temporary shelter for the better part of the week. You can hear more of Indu's story coming up next hour of a morning edition at 7:45 a.m. Central, 8:45 Eastern Time, and later this afternoon on All Things Considered. Coal jobs in Kentucky declined sharply in the first quarter of this year, according to the state's latest quarterly coal report. WFPL's Erica Peterson has more on that.
As of April 1st, there were about 10,300 people employed at Kentucky coal mines. That's a decrease of 1,230 jobs, or 10.6%, from the beginning of the year. And the job losses weren't limited to eastern Kentucky, where market conditions and power plant retirements have hit hardest. Western Kentucky lost jobs, too. These numbers will likely decline further. Division for Energy Development and Independence Assistant Director Aaron Patrick says there are several hundred layoffs pending that will likely be reflected in the next quarterly report. I'm Erica Peterson in Louisville.
An internal audit of the Glasgow Police Department has revealed several thousand dollars in missing military surplus equipment obtained from the federal government. Among the items were 20 large generators. 14 of those were found at a local volunteer fire department. The generators weren't stolen, but the department had no knowledge of owning them until the audit. Public Information Officer Julie Williams says some missing tools were located on private property, but so far, no criminal charges have been filed.
If the investigation gets to the point where charges can be filed or should be filed, that will happen.
A 9mm handgun remains missing, as well as other items. But in a news conference, Chief Duff said the case was closed. Glasgow police say they exhausted every lead on the missing equipment. If credible information is received, though, the case could be reopened, they say. We've got some light rain in the Fort Campbell, Hopkinsville, Clarksville, Tennessee area right now. A few clouds, but mostly clear skies to start off our Monday morning. We are looking for mostly sunny skies today with highs around 80 degrees today, even warmer tomorrow and Wednesday, highs in the lower to mid-80s. Stay tuned for more Morning Edition now here on WKU Public Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Joe Corcoran.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steven Skeet.
And I'm David Green. This morning, we will see Baltimore through the eyes of a young man who lives there. This city has been through a lot.
And good morning. 4 minutes after 6 a.m. Central, 7 Eastern. Now I'm Joe Corcoran for WKU Public Radio with a look at our state and regional news. The Kentucky clerk who refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples says she met briefly with the Pope during his historic visit to the United States last week. Kim Davis's lawyer, Matt Staver, says Davis met with Pope Francis last Thursday afternoon at the Vatican Embassy in Washington for about 15 minutes.
They were very discreet about having the meeting there, and they wanted to have a private meeting where it's just the Pope and Kim Davis and her husband, Joe. We did not want to release that information, nor did the Vatican up until this time, because the Vatican wanted to focus its message on a lot of issues.
As Staver says, the Pope told Davis to stand strong and gave both she and her husband rosaries. Vatican officials haven't responded to an email asking for comment. The Syrian refugee crisis has sparked rumors that up to 1,000 of those refugees may be arriving through a refugee resettlement agency in Bowling Green. Executive Director of the International Center of Kentucky, Albert Banfu, said the rumors reached him through city officials who said they've had calls from concerned citizens. Banfu said no Syrian refugees have been approved to come to Bowling Green at this time, but he said he's concerned about the prejudice and fear that's surfacing among some in the community.
They said that bringing in Syrians will be bringing in terrorists. I understand their fears, but they have to understand that not everybody in Syria is a terrorist. You cannot tell me that the 6,000 people who are fleeing persecution and trying to swim across the sea for safety are terrorists.
Banfu said refugees go through an extensive background check that can take 1 to 2 years before they're resettled in the U.S. And investigators are looking into how a 5-year-old boy was fatally struck by a school bus in Butler County Monday afternoon. The accident happened on Kentucky 70, about 4 miles west of Morgantown. 5-year-old Jaden Hawkins was hit at his scheduled stop after the school bus stopped in front of a residence to let children exit. Butler County School Superintendent Scott Howard told us the boy was in kindergarten at Morgantown Elementary, where the mood this week is very somber.
We are fortunate to have some counselors here in the district, and I think they're doing as good a job as could be expected in trying to meet the needs of all the students.
Superintendent Howard said the bus driver has been employed by the school system for 18 years and has what he called an exemplary driving record with the district. State police identified the driver as 54-year-old Janine Dockery. A lot of pockets of rain throughout the listening area right now with temperatures in the mid-60s. We'll climb a little bit more to the upper 60s today with a 70% chance of these rainstorms continuing. I'm Joe Corcoran for WKU Public Radio.